Hi, my name is Amanda Panacea, and you're listening to the Healer Revolution podcast. This is a community for self-healers, biohackers, practitioners, and any other helping professionals. You're in the right place if you're seeking conversations about how pain becomes passion, the connection between physical, energetic, mental, and our spiritual self, finding your body's ancient wisdom, the latest biohacking technologies, clinical research, and if you just want to nerd out about complex biochemistry and quantum physics. But this is also for entrepreneurs who seek infinite abundance and a supportive community. So pour a cup of King Coffee or Sistis Tea and let's join the revolution. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this episode of The Healer Revolution. I am your host, Amanda Panacea. And today I'm really excited to be interviewing one of my mentors, Dr. Allison Snowden. Hi, Dr. Allison. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, Amanda. So great to be here. And I love talking about anything to do with healing, healers, everything.
Yes. And it's funny, I have no idea how I found you, but I found you on Instagram somehow. Years like 2016 when I first moved back here, and we did one session together, and I never followed up with Theta Healing, which is what you're primarily doing, but you have such an extensive background and all sorts of other degrees, certifications, kind of similar to what I have done too, is just started to collect all of these things. And so that's one of the reasons I was really gravitating towards you at first. And then also just recently and going back to Theta Healing after a couple of years of not doing it. So you have such an amazing story. I would love for you to go through all of the details of how you kind of came to this point and became such a powerful healer.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And thanks for everyone who's listening. Yeah, I feel like so many of us are, especially in this time and space, in just human evolution, human consciousness, a lot of us are just born into this like healer archetype. And I definitely feel that I was like born into it. And it's so much more than just a job. I feel like it's just it's a mission. It's an energy. And so I was a very sensitive child. Some people would maybe say I was an empath. I was very intuitive, but my family, I grew up in a non-intuitive empath family. So my dad was a surgeon and my mom was a nurse, and I still am one of four. And so I grew up in medicine and it was nothing holistic. It was like the opposite. But I love doctors. I love nurses. And, you know, that's where that energy, that framework of mind is where I came from. And, my sister got diagnosed with Burkitt's lymphoma when I was 6 years old, and she had a really bad case of that. And so she was in the hospital for like 9 months. And I think that was one of the first times I was in Western medicine, facing death of someone I loved. And I think that was really impactful for me. And I got to like witness, I really wanted to help my sister heal. And I got to witness Western medicine and, chemo and going through that in like the late 80s, 90s was like very harsh. They did not sedate kids when they did spinal taps. So I got to witness that, so my sister just completely changed overnight. The aspect of death came in, and in the late 80s, people were dying. A lot of her friends died of cancer. So, she's still alive today. And so she survived, but that just, I can remember just like putting my hands on her and just trying to send her healing energy. So I feel like I was doing that. I just always intuitively did that. And so I I saw her get better from cancer, go in remission, and then she was still sick. So also I just saw how, you know, us as a human race are just very judgmental of people. And that's another thing that really impacted me, because I knew my sister was suffering after she was healed from cancer. However, just like everyone, I just felt, everyone was very stingy, with their compassion. They were very judgmental, the doctors, because they didn't understand she was cancer free. They didn't understand what was going on. And her friends. So that was really impactful. Also just like on how I operate with clients and people. And I think that was really impactful for me. So I saw her suffer. She was in and out of the hospital, even though she was cancer free. We now know that her cancer is related to the Epstein-Barr virus, which a lot of cancers are connected to, you know. So there's the viruses, the viral load suppressing the immune system, and then also adding in the emotional trauma, and then her having a genetic also polymorphism also like suppresses her immune system. So that was later found out, but no one really knew back then what was going on. So that was really impactful to see. I sometimes tell people that sometimes you learn how not to be by witnessing how people like treat you in a negative way, or treat people you love in a negative way. So, you know, like having a judgment-free zone for clients and patients, and also realizing that a lot of people come from the Western medicine model, and they're unintentionally or intentionally gaslit or made to feel like their symptoms are, you know, wrong, or there's something psychologically wrong with them. So that is deeply like in like my being. And I was exposed to that over and over again, just witnessing my sister. So I feel very strong about that. I feel like I'm more of a patient advocate than a doctor, because I was, you know, my sister's advocate, and then I was a patient. So when I was around 14, I had a cousin die out of the blue from, he was in a car accident. And I think around that age, I was like, my sister almost died, my cousin died, I saw all of these people die. And I kind of had like an existential crisis. I was like, what is going on with this world? Like, I always felt a connection with the other side. Honestly, I think I was so shy. I would more pray, or like kind of like have a more connection with angels and that type of thing when I was younger. So I think I was just really just very confused about what life was about. And then I also was very afraid of death. And so I just kept on praying. I was like, I want answers, like as if answers would release the grief or the imprints of trauma. But I just wanted to know what life was about. Like I had this existential crisis. I was like, what is life about? Like, why are we suffering? Why are, you know, it was like that type of thing. So I just was really trying to struggle or to figure it out. So fast forward, it'll be 25 years this coming up. 1999, it was a month before my 16th birthday. And my sister actually couldn't go to her senior break because they just had figured out she had this autoimmune deficiency. And they're like, don't go to Mexico. It is horrible, horrible water, horrible. If she does get sick, it's like really bad health care. You don't want to get sick with her, you know, you don't want to go there with her depressed immune system. So my parents had already bought everything. So we went, and I think like the first day we were almost in a car accident from the airport. We flew into Cancun. The second day my friend and I went into town, and we were like almost in this huge car accident on the bus. And then the third night we were out coming outside of a restaurant, and like there was a guy on a gurney and his leg was like hanging off. And I still see that in my mind. And then the next night was mine. I lost my friend, and I think I went off on my own because no one was really worried about her and I was worried about her. And so it was first time I was walking by myself in Mexico, and I think it was around like 10 o'clock at night. It wasn't too late, but some men were following me and got pretty close, and I freaked out. I yelled at them and just started running, and they came after me, and I like lost consciousness. So I went to go step off of into the street, across the street, and there's no cars coming. And then I was just like, consciousness was, you know, closed. And then I regained consciousness, and I was very disoriented, very confused. And there I was being sexually assaulted. And then I lost consciousness again. And then I was floating above my body and looking down. And I was pretty far up, and I saw my body, and there was blood all around it. And I was dead. So I honestly, you know, was not very connected to it at the time when I had my near death experience. I just saw like my body, and your soul kind of has a sense of humor, which was, it's very weird at that moment, but I was like, oh, I'll just get another one. I was like, what the, what? And I was like, whatever. I was like, God, that body, you know, I worked hard on that, you know, like being born is not that easy, you know, like that's a lot of input. And then I just kind of like, so there's the whole, I call it human 3D drama, like below, you know, there is like an ambulance trying to get through, you know, like I had ruptured my tibial artery. So like I had bled out a lot. So somewhere in this, I got run over by a motor vehicle. So I shattered my jaw, my left humerus, most of my ribs, my pelvis in four different places, my pubis and ischium, so my butt bone in four different places. And then my lower leg, the tibia, was a double compound fracture. So it went out of the skin pretty far on both sides. And my whole left leg was like kind of skinned. And there was just, I lost like a lot of blood, like I think they had to give me like 5 blood transfusions. So that was the context of, and that was like my spiritual awakening. So the context of my spiritual awakening was, you know, massive, trauma. And the spiritual awakening was, you know, I was on this plane of consciousness, and it was just pure love. And this actually relates back to Theta Healing. It was just pure love, pure energy, all knowing. It wasn't a visual place. It was a vibration. And it was just, everything was known. And the stuff that was going below on like earth side, I was just like, whatever. And it was beyond time and space. I was just a pure energy. And I just had this knowing that like the only thing that really matters is like loving myself and loving others. And I was raised like Catholic. And I mean, back in the whatever 90s, late 90s, we didn't really have that much access to like internet. And like, I'd never really been exposed to the concept of reincarnation completely. They're like, you want to see your past lives. And there's this like whole, like library of things. So basically what I found out was like, everything is recorded. Some people call that the Akashic Records, but everything's recorded. And, so much of what we think is real here is not. And, you know, so much of us get lost in our ego or in our mind, and we think that we are our bodies, our degrees, our, you know, bank account, our accomplishments, but, like actually when you're on the other side, it really doesn't, none of that stuff matters. Right. And so also what was really imprinted is like the power of this vibration of who we are, this misalignment of our true nature actually causes a lot of like suffering. And also that this, the reality of who we are as energetic spiritual beings is profoundly powerful. And when I was in that space, I was like, anything was possible. And so that was really, there was a lot of other things that I felt like I was up there forever. I get the question a lot, how dead were you? I was like dead enough for them to arrest a guy for, you know, killing me. And that the police didn't believe that I survived. But not dead enough where I woke up in the started breathing or something in the ambulance. But we didn't really, I had some, like, I would love if I ever, I will one day find the people who rode with me in the ambulance. Cause I remember I was by myself, and there was two couples that rode with me in the ambulance. They were responsible for getting my mom to this rinkadink hospital in Mexico that, like, you know, had glass IV bottles. They didn't have like a, you know, MRI. All they had was a penicillin. Just really like very, not very, up to date. So they were the ones who called my mom. And so I was like, one day I will find them because I would love to see them and just give them a hug. I have a picture of them in my mind too.
Aw, yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah. So what happened is I survived. I had to have surgery in Mexico. We were medevaced out. And then I was in, my dad was on staff at a level five trauma center in St. Louis. So we went there, and I was in the hospital, and like for about like 2.5 years, I just was in and out of the hospital having surgeries. And so it took about 2.5 years for all my bones to be like healed. Once it was healed, then I still had pain. That's when like the emotional like shock of like what happened to me just started to set in. A lot of like nightmares. You know, they didn't really call it back then. PTSD wasn't really being diagnosed, and they were just like, "You're healed," and I was like, "What? Like, what just happened to me?" And so, you know, like I had just major pain. And so I had like a, after those 2.5, like it was like a marathon of just surgeries, bones not healing. You know, I had to have my arm reconstructed a couple times. I had my leg lengthened because like a piece of like 1.5 inches of my bone chipped off in Mexico. It was just one thing after the other. And once I was physically healed, I was kind of like, whoa, what happened? And I just had pain. And I was just put on a lot of drugs, Vioxx, which I took myself off because it made my heart feel weird. So that was the first time where, you know, like my parents were like, oh, take this anti-inflammatory. And I was like, no, the makes my heart hurt. And it was later pulled for causing heart attacks.
Oh,
so right. I think one of the things that I have an issue with Western medicine, because they, you know, I definitely have Western medicine's great for emergency medicine. You know, like you can't, it does have its place. However, like one of the things that I think that is not really indoctrinated into us as Americans is to really honor our body, and that our body is wise. And it's like, it's kind of like putting trust outside of our body. So that was one of the first big things where I was like, no, something's wrong with this medication. So, so I just then went on a mission because I was in so much physical chronic pain. How do I help myself? And so I looked for people to help me heal. And a lot of people in Western medicine are just like, you know, you need to accept you're going to feel like shit for the rest of your life. Like, you're lucky to be alive. And I was like, what? This is depressing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh, I'm just like, I'm lucky to be alive. So I should just like accept I'm going to be in pain. I'm like, no. So my parents were kind of not really for alternative medicine. But luckily I had a pain management doctor that like kind of like, you know, encouraged them to like help me out with that. And so that kind of opened up their eyes a little bit. So I think I just started to figure things out. And there was, you know, like, I'm like, Amanda, we have like some of the same things, like, you know, just basic things. Like I was, you know, some things that I found out on like a functional medicine thing is that like, I had MTHFR, I had, I was low on like B12, B vitamins, like scary low, like 260 or something, like very, I also had thyroid issues because I had a brain injury, but no one, you know, I didn't have like, I had a concussion, but like I had a, my thyroid just like, it was induced by a head trauma. So there was an issue with my endocrine system. And then, so that took like 2 years to figure out. Also later, I found out I had like huge gluten intolerance. And that really took away a lot of my depression, which I was like, whoa, like I didn't realize that. And then, you know, it was also like, let's see. I went to massage therapy school. I went and did my undergrad in psych. And I did apply to like master's in psychology, but I was like, you know what? Like, I was like, there's something about like the body. I had experiences with my body where I was like, my body doesn't lie to me. And I feel like the body knows how to heal itself. So I really was I really love Chinese medicine that like the mind and body are the same thing. Like they're just different. It's all interconnected. There like is no separation, which is funny because right now, you know, it's like 25 years later, it's like psychoneuroimmunology. Like we now know through the orchestra of the nervous system, of the endocrine system, of emotion, thought, and the nervous system that there is literally no separation.
Exactly.
So it's just cool that like all of this stuff is now being like, you know, backed with research that, and now it's like opening up more of that with people, but that's what appealed to me. And then I did a lot of trainings, like, I don't know. I think I was always trying to figure out, you know, the best method to heal. And I knew if I was struggling with this, like, I think one of the things that, is different than some of me and other people stories is I did feel alone, but I was like, hey, like if I'm struggling with this, how many other people are struggling with this?
Exactly.
And then also I started working as a healer pretty right away. And then I was going through school. And so I never had this perfectionistic thing about like, I have to be healed or know it all before I can help others. So I've just been for the past 20 years, just helping people, helping myself, and just educating myself all the way, you know, from like just, you know, being an undergrad and getting my massage therapy all the way through my PhD. And then I did an extensive study with functional medicine formally, and then just with other mentors. And then I worked in functional medicine and integrative medicine for like 6 years. And it did work, and it wasn't the whole picture. And I had done NET and some other like mind body. I'd started teaching Reiki and other energy healing like when I was like 21. So that was all going on in the background too.
Yeah.
So all of this is all going, you know, got to get all of it.
Yeah.
And And so, and I taught that through a graduate school, and then I got really into functional medicine, and then was practicing. And what I found, though, when I was in practicing, and what I found with myself is, I was like, yes, vitamins, these are all important. All of this is important, but I just started to see a trend of just emotional patterns and traumas that were just like imprinted on the body. So like energetically on their psyche, on their body. And it was like the body was like remembering. And also it was just kind of this intuitive knowing, like until you heal the person's feelings about themselves and beliefs or traumas, like that's kind of more the lever in changing, because if you can't shift that, like probably no treatment will accept it. And then also I saw this chronic shame and lack of self-love around people who've had trauma like early childhood, and then also like anyone who had been exposed to violence, which I had, and just how that shifted how we moved around the world and how that showed up in our biology. And then also I was exposed to like some medical intuition, like Carolyn Mace. So people like that along the way. And so that had always been in there. And so then I started to, I'd done some, this is the Cliff Notes versions. I would go down like a lot of different trainings, which I'm not going to tell, but right. The big one is theta healing. And,
yes.
and that's what I teach now. And that's my main modality. And I do bring in functional medicine, or I'll refer out for that, because I feel like I can, and I do see the interplay. But I feel like pretty grounded in certain people's, I think, people's belief systems are so powerful that if people can really make themselves sick or worse, and also our childhood adaptations and traumas and conditioning really set in a lot of these autonomic things that come through, and that's our subconscious programming. And that just really creates a lot of our decisions, our self-concepts, our perceptions. It informs what we pay attention to, what we don't, on an unconscious level. And I think that that you have to address, or else, in order to regulate the nervous system, because, you know, I love Chinese medicine, I love acupuncture, but I could not acupuncture out my trauma.
No way.
You know, like I would be relaxed, and then, and I couldn't, you know, yoga out my trauma or meditate out my trauma. So theta healing, you know, like I, is probably my favorite, energy medicine. There's so many different modalities, and I feel like a lot of them are popping up, and maybe some people are rebranding, which is fine, around them. But what I love about theta healing is that it uses this seventh plane, which is creator, which is that energy that I felt in my NDE. And so that just really sunk in, because I'd been trained in NET, some other some other techniques that didn't pull in the seventh plane and that unconditional love. And I just like, and of course it's super taboo in medicine to bring in God, you know, like if you come from that indoctrination or that love, but I just saw that always my patients got better faster, because I would always bring that energy in even before theta healing. And I just energetically and psychically saw that people, like our bodies, like love that energy, and it heals so much faster. So I did all of the practitioner and teacher trainings with that. And I've been doing that like full time for 5 years now. So,
About when we first met, I guess, right? When you first started. Yeah.
Yeah. That's when I first started.
Yeah.
So it's like one of those things where I think, you know, like we go through our own healing journey, and then we learn something and then we're like, you know, it's not the whole piece because everything plays a part. But what I do know and, is that when you go and I'm like intuitive anatomy, which is the big intuitive medical intuitive training and theta healing. And it's like one of the best things, honestly. Like, I feel like if I got like 1% of the population or even 2.5% of the population to go through that class, like, I feel like, cause it's such a big class, it completely changes your energy inside out. Like, I feel like there would be like a massive shift of just like peace on this planet. Because like, I really do feel like the health of our own inner consciousness and our own body is directly related to the microcosm of the planet. And, and I really do feel like people are always like, oh, like external peace, all this stuff. But I really do feel like when we do the inner work and heal ourselves, we completely shift the biology and the vibration of our body. And then that vibrates outwards. And so that vibrates into our current relationships. And then it also brings in other opportunities. And so I feel like theta healing is such a good mix of like doing manifestation, but like at a deep level that's not spiritually bypassing emotional delays or traumas. And it's like a technique that releases that. And then like, you actually get to like heal, deeply heal, and not just kind of be in this, like, you know, I can remember when I would just like be in fantasy or in limerence or just disassociating because I was in so much pain, physical or emotional, and just be in my fantasy world. And this work, it just works to like really heal at a deep level. And then when you heal your soul and your limiting programs, then your nervous system, then like you don't see things as threats. Once you heal those traumas, the trauma is then collapsed into and put in the past. I think one of the things that people get really wrong is like, oh, it's in the past, get over it. And when I energetically scan people, their past is literally in their nervous system. And on an energetic level, I can see it in their heart. Like, I can see the walls, I can see the dissociation. I feel like with women currently, I think we have an epidemic of women who just don't feel safe emotionally, safe in their body. You know, who've had like low level trauma to high. And it just manifests as like overthinking, overwhelm, you know, not feeling good enough. Like, these are all like symptoms of like of belief systems that, or energy that was created in a traumatic situation. And then I know we can talk a lot about this, Amanda, with also then the traumatic aspect of going through the healing process, like on freaking top of that, like on top of just being traumatized, then you enter in a system that's not trauma informed and that's very mechanical and is dismissive. And a shout out to all of the doctors who do like are like amazing. But I mean, let's just face it, like doctors are like traumatized somewhat going through, you know, medical.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So it's just the system, you go through it. And, you know, I was told, I mean, I tell all my clients, like, I mean, I was told, I was like, they're like, you're lucky to be alive. I crushed bone, like all on my left side. You're going to have so much pain, arthritis, I mean, literally, I don't, and I won't.
Yeah.
Like, it's not happening. And like, the thing is it's like, now I'm almost 41, but I feel really good and I have zero pain. And I feel great, but trust me, if I didn't have that experience of like being in that unconditional love, that anything was possible. And then like, you know, with those indoctrination of those people's belief system, when we take those on as truth, even though that could be a version that you could choose, a lot of people through the system just accept that they're going to have pain and get old and feel bad. And then they, you know, materialize that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think it's incredible. First of all, I didn't even have to ask you any questions. You just went through like 30 minutes of explaining so many things, which you're so good at. But I do think it's also kind of that collective trauma that you experience when you get indoctrinated into these systems too. Like, I went through the therapy school and things like that, and this is how it is, or the people you work with all have their own opinions. So I love that you kind of piece together all of these different aspects and then have kind of finally found something that actually makes sense with theta healing. And theta healing was the first modality that I did, because I did a lot of other trainings and I was just like, I cannot muscle test. Like, I can't do this. It's not working. It's not clicking. And theta healing was the first modality that was like, oh, just clear that belief. That's just a belief. It has nothing to do with you. You can actually do this.
Yeah. And it's, and you know, what is cool though, too. And so I'm going to weave in also. So I'm doing, so, and I think it's really cool, guys, because it's like, when you take your healing journey, and I want to like also bring this in as a spiritual thing, is like, a healing journey is an evolutionary journey. It's a growth journey. And there is something that is misaligned that's coming up on your mind, body, spirit. And I think like, it can be an adventure. And I think, especially if you go into theta healing, taking classes, then you get really empowered, because you're like, oh, this is showing up. You feel powerful because you actually can feel a shift. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes what is really scary, or what was really scary to me, is this like helplessness. Like, what, I'm just like doomed to be like in pain. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm doomed to just, you know, like,
and or I gotta keep searching. I gotta keep finding and trying to not look inward without like really addressing why you feel like that.
Yeah. And I think also it's like, I think it's really interesting because, you know, it all goes back to, and then with theta healing is like, we have this life, and then we have our genetic, and then we have like past lives or collective, because we are all, even though we're individual bodies, you know, it's like, I'm connected to you. We're part of this, you know, United States, we're part of this time and space. And so a lot of times we just absorb things from the collective as true. So, yeah. And then we have our soul. And so it's like, why, and a lot of people get in like victim consciousness. And I mean, we could probably talk about 2 hours around that, because I get pretty testy on all sides, because yeah. I feel that there's some people there. I mean, cause like, there are victims. Like, I was literally horrifically victimized in that thing, in my trauma. And that is horrific. And I think from like, and I really do feel like it's the person who gets to decide why something has happened, or gets to decide the story or the narrative that best empowers them. But, you know, I think so many humans are so uncomfortable with their own vulnerability.
Yeah.
And the fragility of their ego, the fragility of their life, it scares them. It puts them in cognitive dissonance. And then they like project. I mean, I think like, when I was in my wheelchair, you know, I was young, And I think it is really offsetting to see like someone who's very hurt in a wheelchair. So it triggers people. And like some of the people would just say some of the weirdest stuff, like, oh, you did something to deserve that, or God doesn't give you more than you can handle. And I was like, why are people saying this stuff to me? You know, but you can tell that like my state triggered them, triggered this fear. And people do and say weird shit when they are triggered. And so I was just like, it was never about me. It was about what my state and what a teenage girl in a wheelchair, like what that triggered in them. And then they would just kind of like project onto me. And I was just like, what is going on? Everyone, you know, so that was kind of funny. I mean, I would scare some people away. I mean,
with my skin condition. Yeah. People were like, is everything okay? I had someone come to clean my house and the lady refused and was like, God bless you, but I cannot be around you. I don't want to catch what you got. And I was like, oh my God.
You're just like, wow. I had also like kind of like, I mean, yeah, it's the ignorance. And I think like that's what with anyone with the chronic disease in this environment or whoever's listening can understand, because you know, if you haven't gone through it, then there is this isolating part around it because there's probably judgment or misunderstanding from your friends.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you just go to the doctor? Why don't you just go to a regular doctor?
Yeah. Or just, you know, like whatever. And I think it's really interesting. Also on the flip side of that is that, you know, we're also, and I feel like we're going through this like kind of evolutionary thing of like understanding our emotions. Like, you know, we're in this mental health crisis. There's all of this like crisis going on. And so we're being asked to like really heal ourselves and also like understand that our emotions aren't just things that can be suppressed, or like these are a part of who we are. And I think part of like our generation is really like mastering it. And when we are emotionally healthy, and can articulate that and can train our kids, I think a lot less also issues and pain will be there, because I think a lot of times when we don't have words for our feelings, or if that is not acceptable with like boys or girls to talk about what they're feeling, if that was never modeled, then the energy has to go somewhere. And, you know, that emotional pain becomes physical pain. And in Chinese medicine, everything is vibrating. And if, you know, like the liver is to deal with anger. So if you have repressed anger, or if you have overexpressed anger, eventually, if you're holding that energetic state for a long period of time, you're going to have physical issues with your liver. So, yeah. And, you know, and so there's all of these correlations with the energetic state and then the physical state. So with theta healing, is what we do is we find the energetic blueprint, the frequency of the unhealed trauma or of the belief system that is at the root of like someone's, you know, GI condition, or their, you know, issues with headaches or all of these different symptoms. And it gets real fun because it's kind of like you use your intuitive abilities, but then you also do the muscle testing to see the emotional reality. And then you were saying with like, you stopped doing muscle testing because of
I just didn't think I could do it. I was like, I'm not getting it. I'm getting different answers. It's just not for me. I'm just not going to practice.
And we went down that whole rabbit hole of like trusting. Mm-hmm. It's like also of just because of with your story, it's like, and I also love with like Carolyn Miss, she would say your biography becomes your biology. Mm-hmm. And so it's like the stories and the narratives and the environments that we grew up in then become our internal environments. And so it's like, if we grew up in a household where And it could be a perceived, it could be totally perceived, or it could be a literal reality where like maybe like it wasn't safe for you to have emotions because you had to manage someone else's, your parents' emotions. Or maybe like me, I thought like my needs were going to interfere with my sister's, because when we're little, we think we're so like narcissistic by nature, by our development. I was like, oh my God, if I need something from my mom, that's going to hurt my sister. And so I just would naturally push down my needs.
Yeah.
You know? And so how does that show up as we're adults? Well, like it shows up of a feeling of like pulling back or not feeling good enough to ask for help, having some shame around that, maybe not prioritizing yourself. So it shows up in different, in like very subtle or overt ways. And there's like that core wound of like, I matter, no. So there's like these deep core wounds that we accept as truth when we're younger. And then we see that from the lens of our brain, because we can only take in so much information. And then our brain fills in these narratives to make sense of all of this random, you know, stuff happening, because we have to have some narrative. But really, like a lot of those narratives are false.
Right.
And then, but from those narratives, then we create chemical, we have the belief, and then that has a thought, and then those thoughts create fear, anger, emotion, all of these different things. And those have chemical reactions in our body, quote unquote, stress. Mm-hmm. And then here we go, creating our reality.
Mineral imbalances, gut infections, and then you have the chronic symptoms cascading from there. But the core of that is the belief that the belief. I'm not good enough, which is then adding the layers.
Yeah. And then the thing is that these, like, the funny thing is, and then going back with this is also going back to like attachment trauma. Because when we talk about trauma, I don't know if anyone else has this experience, because I'm just experiencing myself through my lens of reality, which is very subjective. I know this from myself now. However, like, trauma, I think it was like just 2 years ago, I had this, like, you can have an intellectual awareness, understanding. And I think therapy is great for that, for creating awareness, intellectual, first level intellectual awareness. However, for it to be embodied in your body, and for you to feel it, and for it to be embodied wisdom and your embodied truth, is a whole different journey. And I think you can understand that with like therapy, of like, you can do that, but you're like, but I don't feel that at the core mm-hmm. of my being. Like,
this is where most of the people I work with get stuck too. Like, I know all the things that are going on. I know my traumas, but where's my results? Like, why don't I feel any different? Why don't I see any changes in my physical or mental health?
Yeah. And here's the thing is that there's a many different things that it could be. And also, like, so we get used to our subconscious, like, comfort zone, right? So like we're souls, which is so interesting for me as a near-death experiencer. Like a lot of people, this is my belief system, but we'll just play with it. Like I had that experience of crossing over. And so I know our true identity is this like magical. And I just like want to send this through like the energy waves of my voice and of this, of like telling people that like they are not their diagnosis. They're not, you know, the narrative that their brain or that anyone else has ever like told them. They're like so more amazing than they'll ever know. And really it's through theta healing that we can undo these fake stories and these conditions, and really, so you can really connect to who you are. And but it was very weird for me to have this like out-of-body experience where I was like, oh, I'm in heaven, love and light and just expansion. And then I'm like funneled into this traumatized body that's full of pain. And I was like, ugh, sucks. I'm like, this sucks. Like being in pain sucks. Being in emotional pain sucks. And like, I think sometimes, also just telling like with your, sometimes the biggest traumas and the biggest things are just sometimes the things that didn't happen. So like, I know a lot of people, like I have a lot of I don't know, like that my story is kind of very dramatic, but I also just want to share that like neglect and like the left alone and not attuned to is a very painful one. Mm-hmm. And that not belonging or not mattering one is a very deep one. And I think sometimes it's harder to sometimes heal neglect wounds because there's this almost self-gaslighting, self-denial thing that's already locked in. So it's interesting. I just wanted to like share that because I think sometimes people compare and they're like, oh, well, Allison, you know, she had a real trauma. I didn't. And it's like, no, first of all, you can't compare it. And I think a lot of the things, some of the most painful things that have happened to me are like the emotional, the gaslighting, the emotional neglect, or, and literally I tell people who've gone through emotional trauma or emotional abuse, I was like, having my whole body broken is like nothing compared to that.
Yeah. You
know? Like literally, like I would take a broken bone, you know, over healing that type of stuff. So
just,
we live in a society that if you don't see it, it isn't there. And so I just like hope to break down some of that like shame wall or that like self-gaslighting or cultural gaslighting thing. And I mean, there's just, yeah. So I think that just needs to be said because I think not having that love and not having that attunement, it's like this emptiness or the shame. And that is sometimes like very, that is sometimes very hard. I know with that wound and within me, that's sometimes harder to it's kind of more elusive. Right.
Mm-hmm. I also think that's why theta healing or working with someone is so amazing because you can remodel that or you can model that attunement in that relationship
yes.
to repair what you didn't get back then.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's then reparenting. So then mm-hmm. it's also, you know, like with these, and here's the cool thing, guys, is like, you know, everyone has a core wound, you know, like, I feel like, yes, there's some people that are more traumatized or have had an easier life, but like, I feel like it's part, the wounding is a part of the human experience. And it's also like finding, like moving through that wound into the self-discovery is also like part of such a cool process of evolution. And so just kind of like releasing like any, like so many people like have the, you know, these limiting beliefs. And so it's like, you're in good company, right? So, right. Like a lot of times I can remember when I was younger and I'd look at like people who are like doctors or who have like advanced degrees like that. And I'd be like, they know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
They don't, they're just freaking figuring it out all at the same time. But like, I think the attunement and then the self-attunement, I think what is interesting though, is like bringing it back to early childhood and like attachment systems and attachment theories, and then also energetics. What I've been seeing is like people with anxious, like attachment, like literally when I psychically scan them, like they're half in their body. So like they have like an unsafety wound. So they probably grew up in an environment where they weren't safe. And so they had to be hyper attuned to the external world. And so kind of you know, have their nervous system, like just scanning other people, like, okay, what are they going to do next? So that survival system then became their normal. And so then they come out of this, they're in adulthood, and they're like, oh, other people's energy is like so powerful. And then they don't, they're anxious and they don't feel safe. And they think that it has nothing to do with like what the environment that they grew up in. So I always tell like people that like, what helped us survive in one environment then be kind of becomes like our next block to the next level of our health, healing, and like consciousness.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I'm more of a shutdown person, very much like a freeze, don't feel anything. So body-based work is the more powerful stuff that I've done for myself, but it's also the hardest because I'm like, I don't feel anything. No shifts. I don't feel any changes.
Well, the funny thing, Amanda, is like, I feel like I had more, because of what happened to me when I was younger, I had more anxious kind of attachment with, because like my mom was in mm-hmm. the hospital and I was worried. So I think I have that as like kind of more of my like core, but I started to shut down, like, you know, in the hospital, because like there's so much pain. If there's pain or if feeling, it's like, it's almost like, it's like, what's the point of feeling this? Like, I can't change it. So I'm just going to disassociate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, it's kind of like when you're little and your emotions, if you could do something about it, or if another adult was attuning to you, then it would actually be something that was worthwhile to feel. But it feels like with a lot of people that shut down, it's like that lack of attunement and almost like that neglect or that rejection of your internal state. Then you're like, why have all of this? Mm-hmm. And you're also like focused on being out, like I have to survival, like my feelings. And so I can remember like coming out of my shutdown stage and I was like, whoa, what is all of these feelings coming up?
I've had a lot of anger and I didn't used to ever get angry and be like, I don't understand why people get angry. It's such a pointless emotion.
Oh my God, girl. Oh my God. I was just, and there's a lot of people that are like this. Like I'm so glad you brought up anger, because I think it's something with a lot of women we have to. It was one of the things that, like, first of all, I saw angry people, like, and I never saw a healthy modeling of what healthy anger looks like.
Yeah,
it
that too.
Looked like it was destructive to other people. So in my subconscious, I put expressing anger equals hurting others. Well, like my like intuitive heart is like, I don't want to hurt others, so I'll just shut it off. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Just shut it off. Just cut it off. But the thing is what I found out is until we address that anger, like I'm so pro anger, especially for my disassociators.
Yeah.
Like seriously, my disassociators. And I had to train one of my mentors. She's not as trauma informed. And I could feel her judgment of me. And I was like, no, 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 no. I was like, trust me on this. Witness my rage. Like literally, it was like, witness my rage, because as I was tapping into my anger, I could feel my spirit, like as I was like just touching into that anger that in my hips of all the violence that was done to me, like, and I was expressing it, like I could feel like my spirit, my energy, like going in my body. So until we metabolize that trauma and those imprints, like we're going to be disconnected from our body. And go and kind of linking this to like divine feminine energy and embodiment is like, until we really like feel all the feelings and I, trust me, I was like, I did not sign up for this. Like all of these feelings, like flying all around, like it did make, it was a lot easier when I just was like disassociated. Yes. Like,
oh, yeah. I didn't get a lot more done this way.
I did. Like, I was just like, wow, I'm not, angry. And like the men who did that to me, you know, attacked me and assaulted me and almost pretty much killed me. I can remember I was like out of my body and I was like, oh, they just came from, like, I saw like the consciousness of who they were. And I was like, of course, God, like, of course, like it, not so, a loving person could not do that to a child. Like, that's not, like, you have to have some modeling and some violence done to you to be that way, or, and that to be modeled. So, but like, I can remember just, it was like 2 years ago, and I, you know, have gone through all the, I was working with one of my other Theta healing teachers, and she just started asking questions. And I was just like, you know, like, I was like, oh my God. And I'm like, what is this? And I was just like, had this anger. Yeah. And she's, you know, do you trust people? And I just was like, no, I don't trust people. Like, I'm gonna get, you know, like, and for the first time I tapped into that like reservoir of just like trapped emotions in my body. I was mortified by it. Like the anger that was coming out, and, but it needed to come out. And after that, I started to not be as overthinking. And I felt like, I was like, whoa, I'm in my body. Like literally, I was like, every year I'm like, oh, and I was like, man, like I literally was I was walking around disassociated, disconnected, you know, from myself, and that was normal. And, you know, like, so anytime anyone has like anxiety, rumination, overthinking, or just numbness, it's like, okay, we need to work on your safety to feel. And then kind of like that, like those just internal safety mechanisms of feeling, right?
Definitely. I'd also like to say something. I'm glad you brought this up, that if you're working with somebody and they trigger you into feeling anger, something like you were feeling, that's actually a pretty good sign that you're working with somebody who is hitting the nail on the head of kind of what needs to be done or worked through.
Yeah. And I love, and I think what happens is, and like we intellectually get that when we're in a therapeutic relationship, that like it's a microcosm of how we relate to ourselves in the world. And so, but I feel like a lot of us don't realize it when we go into it. And I think it's just like holding that like close to your heart, and also like, I guess like also Amanda, like I think, you know, like I think I had some really bad experiences with some therapists early on, and it almost like made me have like PTSD with certain healers. And then there's trust with healers. And I mean, I just had,
yeah, I don't mean that so much, just like the topic maybe.
The topic. Like, okay.
Why am I reacting so strongly to this? You know, yeah. Like when people may be like, you know, what have you tried? And you're like, how dare you? I've tried everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think, yeah, exactly. Or like, let's take that another step further, which we talk about in Theta Healing of, guys, our negative emotions and our narratives that come up, it is coming from that belief system, which we can change, which is like FYI, amazing, like, which is freedom. Because those being in those painful stories is suffering. It's like continued suffering. And, or also it can be an unmet need, right? So a lot of times our narratives, our brain, when we like, we have all these narratives, and like, I can remember being in like my narrative, and it's like, oh, they don't, one of my thing was like, they don't care about you. Cause I was like in and out of the hospital for like 3 years. And I was like, I was unfortunately isolated from a lot of people, and my friends and family did care about me, but like the reality was I was kind of alone a lot, you know? And I actually had a lot of support, more support than most people, but like, even after I was done, I just had this narrative that always came up of like, no one cares about me. And I was just like, I would sometimes believe it and go down this whole like train of emotions and emoting or fears. And I was like, but that's not real. And so it's like really challenging those stories, but then also through Theta Healing, we can rewrite them. But usually at some point that was your reality. And what I found out with the body is sometimes our body just likes to hold on to the pain. And plus our brain is supposed to remember pain, and our brain is not supposed to make us happy. It's supposed to keep us safe. And that's psychologically, you know, physically, like all of that. And so sometimes our brain, I'll just be like, oh, you know, my brain is just, you know, it's a little scared today. You know, I mean, it's like, I'm a soul, but I'm in a brain. And I think as you, and this brain and body has been through a lot. And then also going back to guys, like, sometimes if you just think about what our parents went through, what our grandparents went through, what their parents, guys, there's like a lot of oppression and violence. I mean, there's a lot of greatness too, but if you think about it, a lot of our families were in fight or flight or very oppressed by the culture or the environment. And so what a cool thing to be talking about healing and consciousness, and what a privilege. You know, I would give myself like 2 minutes, because I was just like, woe is me. Why do I have to heal so much? And like, I don't know, Amanda, if you've ever had this, but I was like, part of me is like, Allison, you love healing.
Yeah.
Like you fucking love healing.
You made it your like, whole life. Yeah.
I've done my whole life. But also, like, guys, I had beliefs, and this is how belief systems go in. I wanted to be such a good healer. I had this belief that I had to have everything, or in order to know how to heal it, I have to go through it. And so that was one of the belief systems that I cleared. I was like, in Theta Healing, I was like, I'm tired of getting hurt. Like, yeah. I'd had like a septic infection. I'd had so many things on top of what I had already been through. And I was like, am I just creating ways to like test my healing powers, like on a subconscious level? But if you think about it, like, we get comfortable in that. And so I think, like, what do you, Amanda, where do you see, because you have like, you've done like the bioenergetics, you've done the therapy, you've done like the Theta Healing, like where are you at in your journey? Like, kind of like pulling this all together.
Yeah. I always kind of come back to self-love and feeling alone, feeling like an outcast. These are like the two big belief systems that I have a really hard time shifting. And it's funny, because I have had a best friend since I was two. We have like the best open relationship ever. I'm in a finally like a loving, safe relationship, but I definitely came from a household with a lot of alcohol use, which is why I kind of shut down. And so I feel like all of the different layers of like me being sick, I was a sick kid too. So I know I've got a lot of belief systems that came from like, oh, well, I can't do that because I have asthma, or, you know, I can't do that because I get sick. I'm allergic to that. Always from day one, my mom said I had allergies. So those beliefs of like, I'm broken, I'm sick, I'm alone, I don't feel fit in. These are kind of themes that I kind of chronically pick at and work on with Theta Healing. And I do feel like a lot of them have shifted. And I am so much more in my body now. Like, I was completely on autopilot. I'm a big doer. I can just work. And then at the end of the day, like, wow, I didn't take a break the whole day. I forgot to eat. That was kind of my MO, which is how I've also been successful at certain school and things like that. So now, right now, I feel like I take so much time to actually like feel and be present, which was such a complicated task for me. Like, when people were like, well, how do you feel? Like, I couldn't access that. especially guys that I dated. How do you feel about this? What are you feeling? Just tell me, use your words. And I could not access that information. The clinical term alexithymia, I was like, that's me. I have that when I heard that.
Well, and it's like, also, it's like, there's, it's like, I just think it's so interesting because, like, in our culture also, it, us getting sick is like, there's so many belief systems that we don't deserve love just by existing. And a lot of times, like, a lot of people get love, get attention for being sick. And I'm not like saying this as in like a Munchausen or like, you know, whatever, but mm-hmm. it's like, it's really interesting to look at the culture of your family or the culture that you grew up in. And it's like, you know, like what type of, like, also like some cultures in the family, they will not take no for an answer, but if you have a headache, then they will.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
So a lot of times when we're, especially when I'm working with chronic disease and also like, you know, linking that ACE, so childhood, you know, debunking that, you know, whatever doesn't make you, like, I love internalizing like that I get stronger every day, I get healthier every day, but there's kind of like this narrative around, or this old narrative around trauma. It's like, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I think like to a point, yes, but like not in a holistic healing, evolved embodied way. That's kind of been debunked, like with the ACE, all of the early adverse childhood, events. However, I don't like pigeonholing people into that. Oh, because I'm then da da da. No, 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 no. So like, that's where in Theta Healing, like literally I've seen like anyone can heal anything. And you just have to, like, I think the hardest part is that so many people have created, and I did this, I created an identity like around certain things. And then that became my comfort zone, and your brain wants to stay in your comfort zone. Mm-hmm, so realizing even in healing, you'll have some fear, you know, or you'll feel uncomfortable, but like normalizing that and being like, good, because I want to expand.
Yeah. This means I'm changing. The old me that feels uncomfortable is trying to change. And that's why I feel this discomfort.
And I also think with women, like with us, is that what I've found is like a lot of us are just have been disassociated, and we were forced to be like in our masculine, in our doing. And it's like, you know, cause we were not protected, and like, cause we had to survive. And so it's like, we had to shut down our feeling, our sensitivity.
Sports taught me that too. Doesn't matter. You got to keep swimming. You cannot skip a practice or you'll lose all your funding. Even if you're sick, keep swimming, keep showing up. Yeah.
And it's like, you're like on one hand, like you see people in there and it's like, whoa, like that taken to the extreme, like that's going to burn you someone out. And then it's like, also like you've seen other people like who had different childhoods who are just like, they internalize, oh, they'll never amount to anything. So they internalize that. And so they never push themselves. Right. Yeah. So it's interesting how like you can have these two different things, but I think, you know, what is really interesting is like this whole kind of narrative, because we all have an ego, we're all programmed, we have a soul too, we have our, all of this. And I think what is really interesting is like most adults, and I mean, like we think that the problem is out there. Like it's like my boss, the environment, my boyfriend. And I was just like, oh shit, like I'm the common denominator.
Yeah.
And guess what? My female woman authority issues come out every, like my unhealed, like issues with, you know, my mom is being projected out on my poor women bosses. Shit, you know, like, you know, and I'm like, oh my God. And I don't know if you ever had this like part in your like awareness journey where you're like, you know, like, you're like, oof.
Oh yeah. Oh, you for know? Sure. I think that's what started it all. I was like, I have to change. So I need a reason. Universe, give me a reason. And unfortunately, I still had the belief that it had to be very, very difficult to change.
Well, but yeah, that's, isn't that, oh, and so like another thing I've been working, and we'll like work on this too, like this weekend, is like that change can be, because so many times, like when we've been trauma, so trauma gets logged and gets imprinted differently in the brain. And also those memories are implicit and they're just a little bit more stronger. But what I found with a lot of people with adversity is like, you know, like change was like forced on them. So there's like this, like they had to adapt. There's no like choosing, like, and it being a good thing. Mm-hmm. And so, and plus your brain just highlights the negative. And so it's just really like downloading and doing some healing work that actually like, it can be good. It can be fun. And that like, that it can be easy and that it doesn't have to be dramatic. And I think though, I think a lot of us in the beginning, like it, we kind of have to have our like, you know, like we didn't get the small little, you know, pings, you know, from our body or from our soul. It's like, okay, so if you're not like hearing the little dings in your body or in your consciousness of something's off, I need to change something, then, and you keep on ignoring it, and you were trained to ignore it. You know, a lot of us were trained to ignore it. So then it's just, then something catastrophic, like kind of has to happen.
Exactly.
And I think that's also with, sometimes with like the shutting down too, when we've been shut down, it's like, cause that's been shut down. It's almost like something big in order to like kind of break us open or allow us to feel it has to, you know, mm-hmm. but I feel like, I don't know about you. Like, I feel like some areas where people get tripped up is like the ego feeling embarrassed or this mm-hmm. like kind of like, oh my God, like I was projecting onto someone or, you know, this kind of thing. And it's just like, don't get stuck there. You know, we're all going through, it's just kind of like this, we're all human. We're all imperfect. We're all somewhat like projecting or playing off of each other's energy anyway. Hopefully we get more conscious and loving towards ourselves. And what I found, especially with Theta, is like, the more I heal, the more compassion I have for myself and also for others. Mm-hmm. Like, so if you're going through certain, you know, really pay attention to how you feel. And I mean, sometimes if you're having a negative emotion or a story comes up, that's coming up so you can heal. It's not that you're failing,
yes.
Right? It's.
We're going to do this differently this time that this feeling comes up. We're going to choose a different way instead of the way we did it the first time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, and it's going to get easier. And I know like when I was coming out of my disassociated, numbing, like disconnected from my feelings, like, I don't know what's wrong, you know, like that type of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel. Huh? But like coming out of that, I can remember being like, oh my God, these feelings, like, because when you first start feeling, it's like you not only have the trigger in the present moment, but you have that backlog of emotion, like, you know, from like 10 years of suppressing it through God knows, like, disconnecting, you know, like just, you know, numbing in whatever way, or just like not feeling or overworking or people pleasing or whatever way you're disconnecting from yourself. And then it's like a tsunami that comes over and you're like, oh, I yeah. don't want this. This is awful. No wonder I turned this off.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, what the hell? But what I found with, I think with healing is really like, I really encourage people to like heal with others. And I think like taking classes with others, finding mentors, finding healing communities, because a lot of healing is reconnecting to ourselves, our body, all of like the parts of us that we had to suppress because it wasn't okay. We were in a survival situation. There was violence. So we had to cut off our authenticity in order to survive. And so really being in a community or in safe relationships where you can start to be imperfect, start to feel imperfectly, and like be held and be witnessed in love. And I think, I think sometimes if you've had, trauma with others, relationship trauma, that's scary. But then it gets easier. And then it's like, it's so freeing on the other side. Where do you feel like Amanda, where you see in your practice, like healers or just people like in general getting stuck, like, or like things where you got stuck where you're like, oh, I wish someone would have told me earlier or something.
Yeah, I definitely feel like the body-based exercises are such a huge part of it because people get stuck in their stories. They get stuck in the awareness, the intellectual, and they're looking for the things outside of themselves. I still combine like the testing with the emotional work because most people I'll wrap them in or I'll get them in with the testing because they're still looking. I still need answers. I still got to figure this out. And then as we kind of work together, we'll move into that emotional healing. Because at first it's so hard. You always have the blind spot to what you need until you start to develop a better sense of that intuition. And then you start to realize, oh, I actually knew what I needed the whole time. And it's hard to develop that intuition in the beginning. Using the testing actually really helped me develop that. Cause I would think, okay, I think that this is what I need. I think this is what's going on, but again, still thinking. And then when I'd get the test results back, I'd see, oh my gosh, it's so validated. So I like that aspect of it too, cause it helps kind of bridge the gap between, oh my gosh, all these people dismiss me. My lab work even dismissed me. My functional medicine doctor even dismissed me. But using this type of testing actually validates it. I wasn't going crazy. And then you start to feel like, okay, maybe I do have intuition. Maybe I can figure this out on my own. And you start to be more confident in that.
Well, and I also think like it's like you're the testing, the blood test, the blood work. Yeah. And it's like interesting because it's like also then like that's why I love like the muscle testing in theta healing, because like there is a validation process and we can feel and sense that it's cleared, right? And mm-hmm. I think it is good because I think like baseline, I think also it's just like baseline, there are some we can use like supplements, we can use mineral, we can use whatever to synergistically help our body release. Like, it's not like, I think that, and I think like any type of synergy, it's not just the energy or this, it's like, it's all of them all combined.
Yeah.
And also I think.
You can't energy heal your way out of like starvation. still need the nutrients.
You need nutrients. Yeah. And I feel like it's kind of like also at the same time, it's like the, like when I was doing the blood work of, and then it's cool, which I think you're going to do intuitive anatomy and, disease, but like,
I definitely want to do that one
with each disorder. There's usually belief systems that are in there. So they're like common ones. So we'll just kind of share like a couple of common ones, like with like viruses, there's usually like an unworthiness. So if someone has a lot of Epstein-Barr or like viral issues, like they might have some unworthiness. And then also like my functional medicine brain is like, also like, how is their, immune system? How is their vitamin D level? Are they taking vitamin C? But it's like going back to this whole, like that thing of stress. Like what is stress? Stress is your consciousness. Stress is your programs. And what I found with a lot of women, because I work some with men, but mostly with women, is that we've been indoctrinated with a lot of different systems. It's like, whatever we experienced in childhood and was modeled for us. And then we had like the Disney indoctrination and then we had the feminist indoctrination. And then there's all of these contrary belief systems that are like within us. And we're like, don't be like, it's like all of these things, like own your sexuality. But then there's like the traditional, it's like all of these different contrary things that, and what I see is just like a lot of like energetic where women are then, in their brain trying to have a debate between their belief systems, right? They're debating what is right. And it's like, and I just want to say to all the amazing women is like, there is no, like the best is clearing those belief systems and then really doing the healing work for you to be anchored in your body. So you can at each moment attune into your body that is sending you a signal of what is okay and what is not okay in the moment, free of dogma, indoctrination, other people's beliefs. And so
that is the goal.
Right. And it's like, so I feel like us as women, and here's the thing that's interesting is like, when you can do that, then you're hard to be manipulated, right? Because when we're in our head, we can be manipulated by ourselves, by our programs, by other people. But when we are in our body and it totally connected, and I feel like with women, we totally have to become safe in our body and trust ourselves. And that, I think that's been indoctrinated out of us for so much. And then with trauma, that also kind of like pulls our self-trust away. And so then we get in our head. And then if we're been people pleasers or fawners, then we're outside and we're not tuning in. So I really feel like with women, the ultimate, a lot of health crises is really an invitation to tune into yourself.
Yes.
And sometimes guys, like I ask, and kind of framing that your health crisis, I don't know, it makes me feel better. It's like, it's an invitation because your programming has been attuning you outside to all of these things that you would have never paid as much attention unless there was a big pain or a big health crisis. Like you are so programmed to look outside yourself, And so it took that. And it's not, and I remember us working on this with one of the classes. I feel like with a lot of women, I have to do a lot of healing work that like my body is like fucking amazing. Sorry if you have to bleep that out. And
yeah, it's fine.
and like that we are on the same team, because what happened is like in my healing of my physical pain, I could feel my ego being so angry at myself, at my body. So I was taking out my anger that should have been taken out on, the men, but there's no avenue for me to do that. So I think a lot of times when there's no avenue to process our anger, we turn it in, we hate our body, we hate ourselves. And then that gets internalized and that stalls the healing process. Like, you will never heal something by hating or shaming yourself.
Right.
But so much of us, we were like as kids, if we were neglected or abused, like innately, we probably have some self-hatred because just biologically how our attachment system is brought up, we can't hate our attachment figures because then that would put us in more danger of like not surviving.
Right. So it's our fault.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, if I was just better, or if I was this, and it's like, no, like your parents are wounded and circumstances, it wasn't about you and your worth, but by the time we're older and have that realization, those systems are already there operating like lightning speed, you know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And if we don't ever take the accountability, I'm such a huge fan of radical responsibility, mm-hmm. then it's just going to keep firing and you're going to run into the exact same patterns over and over. And we can see these in our friends, right? We can see these in other people. Like, why do they keep dating the same guy? Why do they keep doing this and that? But we always kind of have that like blind spot to ourselves, I feel like.
Well, and I think this is where we can really have compassion for others mm-hmm. and for ourselves, because I'm sure, guys, like I think sometimes we see each other's magic and also their blind spots way before, because we're removed from it. We're privileged. Mm-hmm. We're not in the forest. So, you know, it gives us like opportunity to have compassion for them. And then also for ourselves, it's so human for us to be like, oh my God. Like I can remember being in a psychology of genocide class in undergrad. And I was like, you know, all of these people are like, oh my God, the Germans, like, why didn't they see what was coming? And I remember like putting my hand up and I'm like, what do we not see?
That's happening?
You know, I'm like, you know, it's always when you look back 2020, but like,
yeah, of course,
that stuff's happening, you know?
Oh, and so, yeah.
And so just having that awareness and compassion, and then also why it's so necessary to have relationships so we can see at our mirror and have people gently, lovingly reflect. And it's not like we're bad or we're wrong, but it's like revealing. But I think it's so funny because I'm always like, you know, like it's so much easier to see other people's greatness than to really see your own. And then also the same, your blind spot, because your blind spot is usually so a part of you, you don't even realize it's your blind
spot. Yeah. I love that you pulled up seeing someone's greatness too. That's a really positive note.
I think that, and also one of the things is because, and like, one of the things is that, especially with our Western medical society, they're always pointing out what's wrong.
Yeah.
that is a very Western, like that's a very Western medicine thing. And I think early on in my 20s, I had this mentor, my first energy healer. And she was just like, what's wrong with you is beside the point. What's right with you is the starting point. And she was like, say that, because if you can grow the goodness and the greatness, if you can grow the health and the lightness and the wins, and if you can start to train your brain to do that, you're going to see it everywhere. And also that's going to make you feel like more connected to yourself and safe within yourself. And then probably will maybe take you out of sympathetic, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you keep on seeing the threats or what's wrong with you or others, maybe you're just, you know, like in a sympathetic or not in a, you know, parasympathetic mode, because when we're in a fight or flight, fawn, freeze, it's not safe to connect to ourselves. It's not safe to connect with others. We don't have time. We don't have the money. You know, we don't feel that it feels good now. It's really just that energetic state.
Yeah. Agreed. Awesome. Well, I know we've been talking for a very long time and I know you can talk for like 8 hours straight about these topics. So. I know everyone will really love this conversation. You have some of the best insight on our subconscious and trauma of almost anyone I've ever met. So I really appreciate you coming on today.
Oh, I love it. And I love this. And, you know, you guys can find me on Instagram, or if you guys want to take a Theta class, we have so much fun. And I think creating more of a culture of healing and gentleness and compassion, also with boundaries, because we yeah. talked about that. But I think healers are us healers and what we're doing, the work in the world is so important. And I just love helping healers, and I love seeing people heal. And I really feel like if we can just get that momentum within ourselves and share it with the world, like it, all of this adds up.
Yeah. Even if anyone can take your theta healing courses, you don't have to be a practitioner, a coach, nothing. Anybody can take them. You can start to develop these skills if you're, even if you have no history at all with healing, working with others. So highly recommend it, because also in the trainings, they're these short little weekends usually, and you are clearing tons and tons of these beliefs. So you're doing lots of the belief work and getting also the energy healing from Dr. Allison, or from Creator through Dr. Yeah. Allison.
Yeah. And it's just fun. Like, I feel like everyone should have, like, it's just a fun skill set that you just can help. You can start to heal yourselves. I think we're coming out of this old paradigm where, like, other people heal us. Yes, we do need each other, but I mean, we can drive cars, we can heal ourselves. Like, it's a skill, right? Like, at one point we didn't know how to drive a car, and then someone taught us, right? How cool. You know, I don't know. I think it's fun. And like, anyone, and I also want to invite more men to come into this as well, because we have a lot of women that are doing the self work, which I love, but also, like, men, you're encouraged too, and you're a human, and you have abilities as well.
Yes, I am mostly women listeners, but for the men out there, I know you're listening too.
Yeah, and also with the women, it's like, I feel like women, we're kind of leading it, and lucky our partners get to benefit from it.
Oh yeah, my boyfriend probably would have been dead if it wasn't for me.
Right?
We talk about it all the time. He was not on a good path. He's such a sweet, beautiful, and somehow very well grounded and emotionally stable human. And on top of that, he also had all the bad habits, the worst lifestyle habits of anyone I've ever met. So yeah, when we change, other people around us change for sure.
Yeah. So I just think we're, you know, like, really looking at just that your soul, that you have the ability to heal anything, and literally just taking that first step and just flooding your brain, your consciousness with stories of people who have healed, and really just curating, you know, your information, diet, your mental diet to, you know, what you want to create in your life, and putting yourself in those environments. I think that's one of the biggest things, is just really, if I can heal, like, massive trauma and a lot of stuff, you can too. Like, there's nothing special or different about me. I've been practicing it, and then I love to teach it. So, everyone has this ability, and it's just been suppressed, and it's just coming back out.
Awesome. Yeah. So tell everyone where to find you online and how to gain access to your teachings and trainings.
Perfect. Well, I'm on Instagram at Dr. Allison Snowden, and then www.drsnowden.com. And then I am going to get more on Instagram. This year I'm trying to get more content, and I usually have new trainings starting in January and September for the foundational. And then I have more, then there's all these different advanced trainings that I have. And then I do one-on-ones, and I might start doing some groups, because I feel like I might be, like, creating some groups around with women and, like, self-love, date, you know, just kind of, like,
oh, yeah,
all the energetics of it. But yeah, so I have one-on-one clients and then train people and mentor other healers as well. And so yeah, you can get on just sending me a message. Love feedback, love questions, love hearing from anyone. And yeah, like we're here to help and teach and, you know, help you get better.
Awesome.
Creating
beautiful.
Healers. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, thanks again for coming on. This was a really awesome conversation. We'll probably have to have a part two, because I'm sure people will want to hear more of you talk.
Yeah, like totally. I would love to. You know, I'm like, I would like wanted to do a podcast a long time ago, but I'm like, I still get like stuck in the technical stuff. So I like love it when people yeah. I'm like, yay, I don't know how to do it.
Yeah, I hired someone for that. Yeah, I'm not a fan of that stuff either. So I get it.
Awesome. All right. Well, sending love to all of you that are listening, and reach out, and hopefully like in the next year, I'll have like some free gifts and some meditations, because I had a lot of time when I was on bed rest to have a great imagination. So I'm going to try to release some of those too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. All right, everyone.
All
well,
right.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much, Dr. Allison.
All
I will
right.
See you this weekend.
This weekend in the healing vortex.
Yes, thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. I am just so thrilled that you're listening to the Healer Revolution podcast. This has been a huge passion project for me and super therapeutic on top of that, helping me to use my voice and connect with other like-minded individuals. So if you're enjoying the podcast, please like and subscribe. Please share on social media or with your audience or friends or loved ones. I truly appreciate it. It does take a lot of time and financial costs to run the podcast, and it is not a moneymaker, let me tell you. So if you are enjoying this, I would truly appreciate your support just by sending me a post, a like, and a subscribe. Thank you so much.